Let's start the show with jazz hands, everyone. Jazz hands.
My hands hurt. Whenever I do jazz hands, Wendy, which isn't that often, you'd think I would a lot, but I don't. Then they kind of tingle for the next 10 seconds. I don't like it.
Carpal tunnel.
It might be. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill. That's Wendy. This is our show. Welcome to it. If you want to call us or text us, you should. Why wouldn't you? 312-981-7200 gets that done. How are things?
Great. I really enjoyed that WGN-TV 25th anniversary primetime special last night.
It was wonderful. Nothing short of wonderful. Minute to minute. Everything worked.
And I say this with all due respect.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. I'm going to hide under the console. Go ahead.
No, and we talked to Robin Baumgarten about this when we talked to her last week.
Mm-hmm.
I am shocked they are allowed to do what they do,
mm-hmm.
but it is genius.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
It is just such a mix, and you know, you have goofball moments, but then when real news breaks, they're your trusted leaders
right.
in it all.
Right. It's so amazing to me. I mean, they've been doing, if you saw the special, you know this. Even if you didn't see the special, you probably have heard, 25 years now that the show's been going on. And they regularly beat Good Morning America over on ABC, and they regularly beat the Today Show on NBC. CBS shows, they just run cartoons in the morning now. They don't even do news shows anymore. It's just Chilly Willy cartoons.
Suck it, ABC.
But to beat those network shows with the budgets that those shows have and the guests that those shows have,
you're right.
To beat them is astounding. Good for them. That's wonderful.
It's just such a great morning mix. I'm surprised people aren't late for work every morning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The way you and I were late for school because of Ray Rayner.
Maybe.
I was. On a daily basis, Ray Rayner would start to show something, and I go, I know school is important, but it's not more important than this. I'd stick around a few extra minutes.
See, my thoughts are, why didn't they put Ray Rayner on earlier? But I wouldn't have gotten up to watch it earlier. I tried to sleep till the last minute.
Yeah, yeah, there is that. So in a little while, in about a half an hour, Pat Tomasulo will join us from the WGN-TV Morning News. Last night, there was a little moment in the show where they were taking questions from the audience and they were taking text questions. And somebody in the audience said, was there ever a time that you, the cast of the WGN Morning News, ever thought you were going to get fired? And Pat Tomasulo's eyes got really big and he goes, oh, there was one time. And everybody said, no, you can't tell that story. And he stopped for a second. Then he went, no, I'm going to tell. And he kept going and they go, no, you can't tell the story. I needed to know what it was.
I agree with you, and I just thought he was kidding, but I guess the way they all jumped on him, like, no, don't say that.
Right.
But then Larry Podash went on and ended the show in a very ornery way.
Yes, he did.
About, you know, there was this meeting, they called us in because we didn't like the music they were using, and
yeah.
they were telling us, oh, you, blah, 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 blah. But I call her... another bad word, and
right.
no one complains about that at all.
But don't you think that just the mere fact that he told that means that whatever Pat's story is really crazy?
Yeah, I guess. But it was a weird way to end the show.
Yes.
Larry got really, you know, bothered by it, and then he's like, all right, everybody, thank you for listening and watching all these years.
So whatever Pat's story was that he couldn't tell last night, after two attempts on the show last night, he will be on with us, and he will tell that story.
About a half an hour from now.
Yes. I can't wait to hear what it was.
And I forgot the early years where Paul and Robin were just such goofballs together.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot all about that.
They still are.
I don't think
they are anymore.
But they did like the around town segment, kind of. They were out of the studio more.
Yeah.
And I got very weepy last night.
Did you? Why?
I had like a permanent smile on my face during the whole thing. I'm proud of them. And then my mom mode kicked in, and it's like seeing all these memories that you start thinking, oh,
yeah.
Dean, when he was just such a little guy.
Dean looked like he should have been on a watch list.
I didn't even know that was Dean at first.
They showed a picture of our friend Dean Richards from many, many years ago where
Cookie
he was.
Cookie the Clown looked.
With
more
what?
Professional.
So Dean looked potentially like if you had a neighbor who looked like Dean in those days, you would Gladys Kravitz the house. You would always look out your window to make sure everything was okay in the neighborhood. He looked very scary to me. I say that with love.
He did have a serial killer vibe to him.
Didn't he?
A little bit. I've been watching Mindhunter on Netflix.
He could have been a character on Mindhunter.
I think he was. But that was the style. I mean, you have been pretty much the same. You did at one point have a full beard.
Yeah.
That was very dark, and you're very blonde.
Yep.
Very weird how that happens.
Yes.
And then you had a perm for a while. Jerry Taft gave you that idea, right?
That was in college. Yeah, because of Jerry Taft, I got a perm.
And Mike Brady.
And honestly, it was a couple years after the Bradys all of a sudden all had perms, and all my friends were getting them, and I'm like, well, that's weird. Oh, all right, if that's what you have to do, I guess that's what you have to do.
That makes me laugh so hard, because you are not usually one to give into style.
At all. I know.
And to especially get a hair process.
Yeah, that was very strange.
I had perms. I had half my head shaved. I had a long braid like Amy Mann from Till Tuesday. I went through a lot of...
But girls are supposed to. That was the thing, was to always be updating your look. With guys, when you're a guy, you decide at some point, I'll wear my hair like this, and then for the next 50 years, that's how you wear your hair, you know? It's like, all right, I picked a style. I hope it never goes out of style.
You're right, though. The Bradys made that turn, and they all look like they could have had curly hair and just let it dry naturally.
Yeah.
Except for Bobby. He had to get a perm, I'm sure.
There should have been an episode where all the Brady guys discussed it and then found a beauty shop somewhere and all just went in and got perms. Why didn't they make that episode?
I would have watched.
It would have been a great episode. All right, we will take a quick break, and then there's a lot more show. You already know how to reach us, 312-981-7200. Call or text at that number. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. Let's talk a little bit about Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin. It's a story that doesn't seem to want to go away. Felicity Huffman was just sentenced the other day to 14 days in prison. From everything I read, there's a lot of people very upset that they were a little too lenient on her, that this sets a bad example, that you can get away with something like this and only do 2 weeks in prison. However, Lori Loughlin is now, or people close to Lori Loughlin are saying, that she is incredibly panicked after the 14-day sentence for fear that she will get a similar sentence. I know that no time in prison is good time. I understand that. But you can get through 14 days.
Right. And I think that's what everybody has a problem with. It's making a point and a statement more than anything. She has to pay Felicity has to pay, obviously, some fees.
Yes.
Her offense wasn't as great as Lori Loughlin. They didn't spend as much. It's a bad thing. But it's not like you should be locked up for years.
So do they determine the sentence in part on how much money was spent to pull this off? Is that part of the equation?
I know that the Loughlins and Mosimo also have money laundering going on in there.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, and I don't know if it's because of the abundance of money they spent.
Right.
I don't know if that changes the charges to something.
Right.
But I know they have an additional charge. I don't know. Why do I always... I hope I never do anything wrong and get arrested, because I will confess and plead guilty, because I'll say, I did. I screwed up.
Right.
But doesn't that mean something?
Well, she did that to an extent in her speech. She made a speech to the judge, as did her husband, as did William H. Macy, saying, understood now what we did was wrong, feel horrible about it. It was a terrible thing we did, you know, try to get some leniency from the judge. And I think it worked, because I don't know. They were talking about the figure I kept hearing was a month to 2 months was probably what she was going to get. And she came away with 14 days. So I don't know. I heard that sentence and I just went, I guess that's enough to say to somebody, what you did was wrong. So go stand in the corner for a couple of weeks. I get that.
I'm shocked she's doing any prison time at all.
You didn't think there'd be any?
No. I thought there'd be probation for sure, community service.
But if they don't do any at all, whoever else is up on similar charges, if they're not a celebrity, everybody would point and say, wait a minute, why did she get off? Is it because she's famous? She didn't have to do any jail time at all?
But that's my question. Are there people that did this that weren't celebrities? Probably not, because I don't know if they could afford it.
Well, I believe she was the first one to be sentenced, right? Has anybody else involved with this been sentenced yet? She was the first, right? I think. Yeah, that sounds right. So does that mean you decide based on the very first, whoever the first one is, in this case it was her, obviously, do you base all other decisions on her and how many days she was sentenced? Is that how it usually plays out?
I don't know.
Is that the precedent?
I don't know how that works. And someone's texting, a bribe is a bribe, they should go to jail, period. But she's not the first person to ever give money to a school. I know the changing of the ACT makes a difference.
It does.
I'm sure it's happened before.
It does.
And make a, you know, make an example out of her.
Did you know prior to this that doing this was illegal?
Can I answer honestly and then let the text line go crazy?
Answer honestly.
I didn't know it was illegal. I knew it was not
wrong.
It was immoral. It's not a good thing to do.
Right.
I didn't know it was illegal. I'm sorry. I didn't.
I was somewhere in the middle. It sounded like the kind of thing that if somebody pressed you on it, you could go, look, deep in the codes, we found this paragraph that says that what you're doing is illegal. But I didn't know it was blatantly illegal, that almost everybody knew it was illegal. I just knew that bad karma to pull something like that.
Exactly.
Right? And not just bad karma, it also says to your kids, it sends a weird message to your kids where if you can't do something on your own, look what money can buy.
But this was unbeknownst to their kids. Mm. That's the weird thing, too.
That is weird.
This was done to help grease the wheel without them knowing, so they would think that they got in on their own merit.
But with Lori Loughlin's case, where there were pictures of the kids was it the crawling team or the rowing team or something like that? And they knew that they weren't eligible for that. They knew that that's not why they were in school. Wouldn't a question or two come up? Like, why are there fake pictures of us on a sports team that we're not a part of?
Yeah, that one is weird to me. Because they
that's
had
hard to
have,
explain,
yeah.
Right? That's very hard to explain. Wait, so we're going to take pictures pretending we're doing this, that we're on a team and we're not on a team? All right.
Listen, I know breaking the law is breaking the law.
Yeah.
And fixing scores is not right.
Yeah.
But lying and saying they're on a sports team when they're not to get them, into the school, I don't know. I feel like that's worse.
Right. Right.
Are there degrees of worseness?
Well, don't you just kind of assume, I do, that rich buys a lot of stuff? I mean, it just doesn't buy houses and boats and cars. You get to the front of the line a lot if you're rich. That's just the way the game is played. It's not fair.
Thank God we don't have to deal with that.
No, I can promise you no.
I only have a 20 for a good table, but it is my daily allowance.
Yeah. Right.
Wendy, have you listened to Lori Loughlin's daughter? She absolutely knew what was going on. I know Felicity Huffman's daughters didn't. According to William Macy.
H. Macy, yeah. Right.
I don't feel like saying the H.
There's no time.
No.
Every minute counts.
This is a great rule to live by. If you have to ask yourself, is this illegal? Then it probably is.
It's illegal. Yeah, I would say more times than not. And what's the phrase, ignorance of the law is no excuse? Did you ever hear that?
Yes, that's true.
So before doing something like this, what do you do? Who do you call? Who do you talk to say, hey, look, I'm thinking about greasing the wheel a little bit to get my kid into a school. Is that did you run that past a lawyer?
Yeah,
do you run
your family attorney.
You have to, right?
And if you don't have one, call Peter Francis Geraci.
Yes. Or your favorite Briskman brother.
I was just going to say, are they still around?
One of them is. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I wouldn't do any of this stuff because I, you know, would never have to worry about coming up with a big chunk of money to give someone.
Right. Right.
There are people that have donated to schools. I don't know. Is that a bribe?
I know so many people who are graduates of a certain school and continuously make donations to that school, and then when their child or children are up for possible enrollment in that school, they get into that school.
Isn't that the same thing?
I think it is.
Is that illegal?
I don't think it is. I think that's a legal way of doing something that is borderline illegal.
And a lot of people who graduate from the school and donate money want to have like an auditorium or a building named after them too.
That you got to donate a lot of money for that. That's really expensive.
But how is that different?
I mean, don't think it is different. I think it's the same thing.
Although changing the scores, that again is...
That seems a little more blatant, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah. But if you went to a certain school and you're getting a thing in the mail every 6 months or every year saying, hey, you know, we always need more money. You went to the school. You had a good experience. Could you throw us some money? And then they do. And then somehow, miraculously, when your kid is up for the possibility of attending that school and the school goes, yeah, come on in. We'd love to have you. Legacy, come on in. That's kind of the same thing.
Sure seems like
slightly different, but not that different. right?
But 14 days, a lot of people are saying, oh, she's a celebrity. I honestly am surprised. This is her first offense.
Yeah.
No one got killed. Right. I just feel like I was expecting probation for her, and I don't know what's going to happen with Lori Loughlin and Mosimo, but they are denying it. They're saying someone said that Felicity got this just because this was part of a plea deal. Oh. You plead guilty, you get this.
Yeah, maybe.
I'd be singing like a canary on my own self.
Would you?
That's what keeps me on the path to the straight and narrow.
Right. A lot of people want to discuss this. Why don't we do this? We'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news. And then if you can hang on the line, we would love to discuss it with you. 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Ryan, thanks very much. It's Bill Leffitz, Wendy Snyder. We're giving you kind of an update on Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin. Felicity Huffman already sentenced to 14 days in prison. Sources close to Lori Loughlin says that she is incredibly panicked that she might also have a similar sentence, maybe even worse. Your thoughts on this?
Can we talk to Bill?
Yeah.
Listener Bill has been on hold, and I think he's very angry. Bill, go ahead.
Oh, my God. Thank you for letting me vent.
Sure.
I have three out of four kids still in college, and the fourth one graduated last year. And we have worked so hard to make this happen. I mean, my daily decisions are around making sure they have money for food and everything else that goes along with the expenses of college. And to see these people get off with such light sentences has got to be, I'm sure there are a lot of people in my boat, a lot more in mine than theirs.
I agree.
And it's they knew they were doing wrong. They knew they're not stupid people. I saw where there were some emails from Felicity Huffman where I think she took 3 days to debate doing it.
Yeah.
She knew it was wrong.
Yeah.
They knew it was wrong. And they're upset about 14 days
right
in prison and a fine that, you know, they probably spend on, it's probably less than their property taxes.
Yeah.
For a year, I'm and we see it a lot here in Illinois with our politicians. We see these privileged people. It has nothing to do with white or black.
Yeah.
It has to do with privilege because Jesse Jackson Jr., I thought they got off light. They were buying Elvis memorabilia with campaign donations.
I know.
And they knew that was wrong.
Isn't that worse than like helping your kid get in a school, though? See, I think there are different degrees of...
There is a difference. There is a difference between donating to build a gymnasium. That's above the board. You're saying, I am donating money to this school.
Yeah.
Please later look favorably on my son when we apply. That's above the board. There are no guarantees.
Bill, let's say
cheating on a test, manipulating the system that everybody else has to go through that doesn't get the opportunity to manipulate, that's cheating. That's wrong.
Sure it is.
But don't you think, like, I would say 8 out of 10 of us have cheated on a test at some point in life?
When I was young and immature in school, I did. But you know, in my profession, I have to hold licenses in the state of Illinois. And one of my classes that I have to take, maybe they should make everybody take this, is an ethics class.
Yeah.
And it just makes you think about, and plus I have 4 children that I want to be a good example for.
Right.
You know, I want to at least be one of the voices in their head when they're making life decisions later so they don't regret it.
That's a great point.
Bill, can I ask a quick question? If the sentencing were up to you for Felicity Huffman, for Lori Loughlin, what would the sentence be?
Honestly, yeah. I would not sentence them because it doesn't benefit society to put her in jail for 14 days.
Right.
What I would do is I would make everybody that was involved in that start a scholarship fund and finance people that are underprivileged to go to college.
Wow, is that a great idea?
I would have
I wish you were my dad. You would have taught me right from wrong. You are awesome, Bill. That's
great
a great idea.
Bill.
I have my faults. I'm not all that awesome. But I try hard. But I would. Why not turn this mess into something that directly benefits people that may have been hurt by this, because there were victims.
Yeah.
There were people that lost out because of what they did.
Well, I always think about the places that those kids took in a college that should have gone to somebody else, and they didn't get in because somebody else cheated their way in. That's not fair.
Those are the victims. Yeah. Those are the victims. So now make the punishment go back that direction.
Yep.
Agree.
And they can all afford it. They can all afford it.
What a great phone call. Bill, thank you for your opinion. We appreciate it.
All right. Have a good day.
Wendy, I want to point... Oh, go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, go on.
Jasmine said she took several phone calls from people saying how ironic it is that at the same time Felicity Huffman was getting 14 days in jail, this woman, Tanya McDonald in Connecticut, received 5 years in jail. She didn't pay. Here's what happened. She falsified her son's residence to get him into a better school. She's a homeless woman living in Connecticut. She wanted her son to get a good education. She falsified documents saying that the kid lived in a certain district when he didn't. He lived in a different district.
Everybody, a lot of people do that,
A lot too. Of people do that. 5 years behind bars for what they called stealing an education for her son.
That's unacceptable.
It's unacceptable. Right. It is.
I can't even imagine that. We have a very quick amount of time, so Laura, go ahead.
Hey, guys, love your show. You know, it's really all about them and the status. I mean, God forbid they would have children that were underperforming. You know, my kids went to a great high school, and all the, you know, there were parents who always talked about, oh, my kid got into this college and that college. It was all about status and money and just buying your way through. I can't even imagine having ever had that thought. I have two kids that went to college.
Yeah.
They're doing spectacular. The thought of cheating like that, it boggles my mind, but I think it's a reflection on how they feel about themselves and making sure that their kids do great. You know, these may have been, what if their kids just were not really successful? You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Maybe they would feel that they had let down, but to go to that length just is amazing. You know, I can't even imagine. I agree with the first caller that she shouldn't be sent to jail. That's just
that's how I feel too.
Yeah, I think he's right. She should donate. Since she tried to buy her way her kids into an education, she should take
that money.
Count.
Laura, thank you much for your call. And real quickly, 630 SAT ACT scores are just one part of admissions. Big schools like University of Chicago don't even use them anymore.
Right. And Wendy, somebody said that when talking about William Macy, you have to call him William H. Macy because there's a SAG law that says two actors can't have the same names.
Right.
And Bill Macy was the man who played Walter on Maude, so they couldn't have the same name.
Thank God you're here.
It's the reason I can't use my real name, Benicio Del Toro, during the show.
Welcome back. I'm Larry Potash.
And I'm Robin Baumgarten. We're standing by live for a bridge in the plosion. What was that?
I believe that's implosion.
Implosion! Well, it could have been in the plosion too, Larry. That's how we say it on the south side.
How about in the keister, which is where I'd like to kick you.
Shut up!
Right, Paul, in the keister.
Paul, what's the weather? Hey, Larry, you know what the keister is close to? Uranus! Larry,
they don't even need everybody. Why don't they just use you for all positions, Pat?
Oh my goodness, hold on. I have the volume up on the microphone way too loud.
Pat, that of course a clip from Brideshead Revisited, which I know is your favorite TV show, so we ran that clip.
Yeah. Yeah, that little 2-minute clip took a week and a half to put together. That's why they don't have me putting all the roles.
Yeah, I hope you feel as good as you should about last night's presentation, because that 25th anniversary special was really good.
Oh, that's very kind of you to say. I'd feel a lot better if I got more than 4 hours of sleep last night. But yeah, no, it was a lovely night. It's always equal parts You know, it's lovely and it's also humbling.
Sure.
It's lovely because you see all the work you've done, and then it's humbling because you see how good and youthful you looked when you started on the show. And then you're like, oh my God, has it really been that long?
I was telling Bill earlier that it hit every nerve. It's like I smiled during the whole thing. There were times I felt weepy when some of the old
when
clips
we saw
were
the
shown.
Greengrocer, you got weepy? Is that the greengrocer?
It just, we're so proud of our homegrown team here. It's
what
just amazing.
What made you weepy? I'm dying to know.
Well, first of all, it's that stupid Green Day song.
Sure.
And watching a young Dean and all the people that have come through your studio, yeah. And you guys just do such an amazing job. I felt tears of pride.
Oh, this is thank you.
I really did.
This I'm
is so emotional.
Ego stroke.
It was like an episode of This Is Us. Is
it
what it was like? Yep.
Was it
really similar. Yep.
Who was Jack?
You were Jack.
Oh yeah.
You
naturally, because I got the biggest.
Because you would run in and save a dog in a fire. So you were Jack. Pat, here's a TV mystery that you need to solve for us.
Listen. I know what you're going to ask.
Yep.
I can be vague about
okay.
it. And allow you to draw your own conclusions.
That's fair.
But I can't come right out and say.
No,
it.
That's
so
fair.
Ask your question.
All right.
How you choose to do.
All right. That's fair. Last night, toward the end of the show, there was a time where people in the audience got to ask the cast questions. And one of the questions was there ever a time that any of you felt like you might get fired?
Sure.
And then your eyes got really big because you had a great story and you said,
Yeah.
There was a time where, and everybody said, no, you can't tell that story. But then you did start to, but then they go, no, you can't tell that.
You know, these people, you would think I've been on this show for 14 years, maybe there would be a degree of trust, or maybe that degree has been eroded because I've been on this show for 14 years. No, it was a long time ago, and I may or may not have questioned the validity or existence of a certain holiday person.
That's Why would you do that?
That's all I'm going to say. And I should point out that the crazy part about that story is that I didn't even come close to almost being fired. People have gotten in trouble for way less severe infractions. I got more of the, I walked into the, and my boss at the time said, did you say such and such a thing? And I was like, yep, I said that. And he was just, he was bewildered. He was
sure.
Why would you do that? And I was like, I don't know. I thought it'd be funny. And I will say that to half the audience, it was pretty damn funny.
Oh, I bet it was.
The other half of the audience did not think it was
no,
funny.
No, I bet not.
But,
Friends tried to say, like, this tells me how much those people love and care about you. They tried last night to save you, and they did save you. They didn't want you to get in any trouble last night.
What if I would have said what I just said now? Would that have been too bad, Bill?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
I didn't say anything. It was, you know, listen. I could be talking about the jack-o'-lantern man. I could be talking about the tooth fairy.
Right.
I don't know.
Right. That's true.
I just want to know if Larry's going to be in trouble for ending the show on such a sour note where he was talking about the meetings and you didn't like the music. So he said they called us MFs and then, but I call her this every day. And, you know.
The W word.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was like a weird ending to the show.
Larry was on fumes. Listen, that happens. Guy's got a lot on his plate. I don't know what to say.
It was so great, you guys.
That's just enough of that story. Let's no.
Will you do that again? Because I don't mean right now, but on the show where you do the impressions of everybody on the show, will you do that again sometime soon?
Listen, as a comedian yourself, you know that if something works,
you run with
it. Until it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Listen, between you and me, it's pretty easy writing to do.
Yep.
It doesn't really take much of my intellect to write that piece. So if they keep asking for them, I'll keep doing
good.
You are such a man of the people.
Well,
you really are.
Okay.
I miss that. I miss it.
Too soon.
Will you say hi to Tom freaking Skilling for us?
Boy, I'll tell you, Bill and Wendy, I can tell you what the weather is going to be. It's the barometer is, I've never seen readings like this. It's June of 75. I remember that day.
We know you have somewhere to be. You have a meeting, hopefully a good one.
I do actually.
But will this be rerun? Do you know? Can we find out?
No freaking idea.
Yeah, I guess
we've got a lot of.
Listen, from what I hear, we're going to have some programming openings opening up in the very near future. So I can imagine that they're going to be looking for things to fill holes with.
Right.
But I think I know for sure it's on the website now. So right. Like that, I think I know for sure.
That's
I don't
good.
Know.
All right. Well, we enjoyed it immensely, Pat. You did a great job. Everybody over there did a great job. And at least 25 more years to look forward to, I hope.
God. Yes, exactly.
All right, we'll be watching you. Thank you for talking to us.
Anytime.
Thanks, Pat.
See ya.
Pat Tomasulo, he plays Pat Tomasulo on the WGN TV Morning News.
I am like a proud mom watching them. Yeah. I swear to God, it was just really awesome.
I love that you got teary-eyed.
I did.
Because I don't think that was their intention, but that's a nice little bonus to make somebody watching cry.
Those old clips, that's what does it to me. It's, you know, the mama's pride.
Yep.
I enjoy it. All right, coming up, the stories that matter with Ryan Burrow from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It's all happening right here on WGN, the radio side. Thank you, Ryan. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And our next guest is Dr. John Duffy, clinical psychologist, certified life coach, parenting and relationship expert. And his new book, Parenting the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety, is available now. Congratulations and welcome back.
Thanks so much. And it's always great to be here.
You also do a podcast with your wife, Julie.
Yeah.
You do another podcast with Heidi Stevens from the Chicago Tribune.
Yeah, I can't shut up.
Apparently not, John.
And Heidi posted something about the new book, and I have to share this because I actually quoted it this morning. This is an excerpt from Parenting the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety. Remember, we are not here to guide kids towards our own images, nor are we here to push them toward convention. We are here, rather, to guide them, to listen through the fog of all those stimuli to their own inner voices. We are open to any and all definitions of success. That's mighty parenting. And that just hit home to me because not everybody moves forward on the same plan.
It's so true. And most of us, we hold a fairly narrow definition of what it means to be successful, right? You know, like you go and you follow this path and that path and things are going to work out a certain way. But most of our kids, they're what's interesting about them, what's amazing about them, doesn't fit in that narrow definition. So we find ourselves not celebrating what's amazing about our kids and really pressing them in the things that aren't particularly striking about them, you know. And it's important to work hard in school and get good grades and things, but some kids are really good artists or rappers or guitarists or athletes, and it's important to recognize that if we broaden the definition of success, our kids will be successful. If we make it really narrow, they're going to be stressed. Mm-hmm. By and large.
But mm-hmm. we have to be retaught how to parent, and that's where this book comes in handy, because we only know what our parents did to us. And it's like, what do you mean you got a C on that test?
Yes.
You know, it's all about the grades. You have to go to school, but there are other things out there, as you pointed out.
And you're right, Wendy. I like the way you put that. We need to be retaught how to parent. I don't hold parents' feet to the fire on this, but there's a lot we don't know about the lives of our kids today. A whole lot, right? You know, there's stressors our kids are under that we weren't under. So I usually start, when I talk to parents, I tell them, you weren't a teenager like your kid is a teenager. You don't know what this is like. So you have to learn from them, and you have to ask a lot of questions. Whereas your parents, they didn't care necessarily what it was like. You were going to live by their rules. Now, in a lot of ways, our kids hold the keys, and they know a lot more about what's going on in their world, especially the stressful parts, than we do. And the more we learn from them, the more we listen to them, the better off we're collaborating together.
John, do you ever go back and look at child psychology books that were written 25, 30, 40 years ago and just go, wow, I can't believe people thought this was the way to do it back then? It's not that long ago.
I absolutely do. I make it a habit of whenever I'm in a bookstore, an older bookstore, I like to read old books on psychology, especially parenting, to see what techniques used to work.
Yeah.
And it is interesting because the playbook of a generation ago is almost something you have to throw out completely, because the connection with your kid is so much more important now than it used to be. Mm-hmm. Our parents had a wider berth than we did.
They right?
Right. There was less ability to get into trouble that was dangerous or lethal or, you know, really going to impact your self-worth or self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Now things have tightened up so much because kids have so much awareness of so much data and themselves, their awareness of themselves, of of their own potential for mental illness, things like that, that we didn't even think about when we were kids.
All right, let's apply this to a story that's going on right now, and that's this actor, this comedian that was hired by Saturday Night Live and then fired 4 days later because of things he said on podcasts.
Yeah.
How would parents like take a story like that and convey to their kids the importance of watching what you say and do, because it could cost you a career?
All right, so that's a great question, because that's a difference between a generation ago and now.
Yeah.
Generation ago, you sit your kid down and you lecture. See what happened to this guy?
Yeah.
You know, like, you don't want that to happen to you, so make sure you think about what you say before you say it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the interesting thing to do as a parent is to draw it out of your kid. Because kids are really smart and savvy now, and they'll know that story. You know, an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old will know, oh yeah, some guy got fired from Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just ask him, so what do you think of this, right? This is a big moment in this guy's life, but he said these things. What do you think? Did Saturday Night Live do the right thing by firing him? And kids are really thoughtful in their answers about this stuff. And so that's the shift in parenting, is really away from like talking a lot and listening more. And that
makes
helps
sense.
A lot.
Yeah.
All right. I have a question.
Yeah.
When we were growing up, we didn't have that many stressors. We didn't have social media to deal with. Things are more difficult for a kid nowadays. What happens to the kids of the future? Are we going to get used to all these new stressors, or is it just going to get worse? No way to predict that, but I just want to know your opinion on this.
And I think that we can kind of predict it just by, if you look at the trends, like look at social media, for example, right? Every couple of years, there's a new iteration. And, you know, if you look at the difference between Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Visco, they each get a
Visco?
Little... Visco.
I don't even know what that is.
So that's the newest.
Cooking oil.
Yeah.
That's Crisco.
Crisco, right. That's
do you know,
I'm on.
Wait,
I'm on
do you
Crisco.
Know what Visco is?
Nope.
Jasmine, do you know?
I kind of know, but I don't want to be... No, I'm not going to say I know.
So you don't.
Right.
So look at all three of us
right.
here.
So if you think you're taking social media away from your kid, for example, there are a bunch of regional social media accounts that kids can have. And it's really, really difficult to say, you know, I'm going to punish my kid by taking anything online away, because your kid's going to find access to it. And Visco's the newest thing.
John, I just got a CB radio, so go slow.
It's 10-4, bro.
Excuse me for interjecting here, but I wanted a CB radio so badly when I was younger, and my mom wouldn't let me get one because she said, you're just going to be talking to truckers all night and you'll get in trouble.
And
she was right.
Right.
But that's so weird. I wanted to communicate with people even when I was younger, but mom did know best at that point.
Well, we're all dating ourselves. I had a CB radio
in
my house when I was a
kid. What was your handle?
Huh? Oh, I wish I could remember my handle. The kid across the street who was 14 was Whiskey Runner.
Wow. Very ambitious.
I think he was making it up a little bit.
But I could have gotten into trouble with that for sure. And this is easier to get in trouble with Visco.
Easier.
I don't even. What is that?
So Visco is just another kind of like a picture-based, like Instagram, social media account. But there are elements of it that disappear, and there's fewer reliance on likes and things like that. So it might be a little better for self-esteem. But if I had to argue about whether this is going to get better or get worse in terms of self-esteem and pressure, I think it's going to escalate. I think it's going to get worse. So I think we need a framework to talk to our kids about this stuff.
Right.
And that's part of the reason I wrote this book, and that's part of the reason I'm talking about it, is if we don't pick a different lane to address our kids, then they're out there in this wasteland alone trying to figure this stuff out. And it's really, really hard to be out there alone. Right. Yeah.
And John, just to get the point across one more time, if Wendy had said something to a trucker on a CB radio, it would have happened in the second and then vanished forever.
Exactly.
And now through all those sources you just said, it's forever.
Everything out there is permanent and public. No doubt.
Great.
I wouldn't have been here if I had a CB.
Nope.
I would have been meeting some trucker at Stucky's.
No. All right, we'll take a break and then more with Dr. John Duffy. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
And a friend of the show, Dr. John Duffy, is here. His new book, Parenting the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety, is available now. Get it wherever your favorite books are sold. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, IndieBound. And John will be at Lyons Township High School tomorrow night, the Parent Community Network, and the Parent Teacher Council. Council will be hosting you tomorrow night. It's free to the public, 7 p.m. in the North Campus Reber Center. And we all need a little help with parenting, John. You had posted something on your Facebook page, an article from Family Circle yes. about the dark web, which Bill and I don't know much about. We're on the light web. We're just...
We applied to get on the dark web. We've not heard back.
Rejected applications, yep. Huh?
Very sad. Yep.
And well, I just know that, you know, Googling things here at work, sometimes things pop up, and I mean they pop up where right. I'm shocked that I have access to that. Some kids can't unsee that, and it's tough for them. Something you mentioned, and you can build on this, punishment, is that the answer? No, we're trying to teach them how to navigate these things in life.
Your kids are going to have access to this stuff. I don't know the 14-year-old who doesn't have access to the dark web. And to your point, even the regular, you know, accessible web that we can Google, kids are going to stumble upon things that their minds are not prepared to take in. And so we need to teach them to think strategically and be discerning and be thoughtful instead of telling them, you can't do this. You know what I mean? Because kids usually aren't online looking for trouble. They usually stumble upon it somehow. So I think the more we talk to our kids about, like, here's how you use the internet safely. You know, the internet's not going away. The dark web isn't going away. It has millions of visitors every day. And some statistic says there's 5 million visitors under 20 every single day in the dark web. And this is kind of a wasteland for kids where, you know, you can buy vapes and jewels and tanks and weed and Xanax and all sorts of awful things. And pornography is kind of all over the place, and hate speech in the dark web. And mm-hmm. so you want to have some discussion with your kid about it, because in all likelihood, your kid has access to all of this stuff and is probably looking at it.
So if you take their computer away or their iPhone or their iPad, wasn't there a story in here that a kid did it at school?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. So I worked with a kid who just used his school computer, and he eventually got caught. But a lot of kids know their way around every firewall, and most of us have an iPhone 2 or 4 sitting in a kitchen drawer somewhere, yeah. and a kid knows how to activate that and tap into the neighbor's Wi-Fi. Any parent who thinks, hear this loud and clear, that you're taking the internet away from your child, you are kidding yourself. That is not happening.
John, kids have this incredible curiosity about everything, good and bad.
Right.
And when you think about it, for us, a generation ago, if a kid had a Playboy magazine, you were going to look at it.
Sure.
So now what's going on the internet is a Playboy magazine times a billion.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And part of the fun of sneaking it up to your clubhouse, Bill, has been taken away.
Yes. right. Are you talking about today or when I was a kid?
You're talking either
one. They're both applicable.
But to your point, right? You know, like in order to get to the Playboy magazine when we were kids, you have to. There's firewalls, right? There's a guy behind the counter, and it's behind the guy
who
behind
knows
the counter.
That you're not an adult.
Exactly,
you're a guy standing on another guy's shoulders with a coat, so you can't tell that you're not an adult.
Exactly, right. And now sitting on your bed, you know, on your computer or your iPad or your iPhone, you can find something far, far more intense and severe than Playboy magazine. And so we need to be open as parents to talking to our kids about what they're looking at out there. And we've got to get past the point where we're angry with them, or where we're shocked. We're just like, you know, gobsmacked by everything that they utter.
Yeah.
That's part of the reason I wrote that book, is to get parents informed about what's going on in their kids' lives.
Right.
So that their kids aren't burdened with having to tell them every single little thing about what's going on. And the jaws aren't dropping constantly.
Right, sure.
Here's a text that I think you should address. Discussion with your kid. Just don't pay the bill, like the internet bill. But again, you mentioned that. They're just going to borrow their friend's phone.
Right.
They're going to do it at school.
Right. The best you can do in that case, I get what the texter is saying, is make it slightly more inconvenient to gain access to the web. But, you know, in school, your kid's best friend has a phone with internet access. You know what I mean? Your child will find his or her way online on any given day of their life. That's just a fact.
So what do you say to a kid, and at what age, where you say, look, when you're online, something's going to show up. You're going to Google something, and something's going to show up, and it's going to be something you might not be ready for. How do you convey to them of what to do next?
Right. the first thing you do is you say exactly what you just said, Bill. You are going to be online and you are going to find something you're not ready for.
Yeah.
And what you want to do as a parent, because your kids are going to be curious and they're probably, if we're being honest, they're probably going to look at the thing, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? Not many of us would have had restraint as teenagers and said, oh, this looks like it might be heading into an area that I shouldn't go into.
Yeah.
We're sitting alone in our rooms. We're probably heading into that area, right? So we need to make ourselves open and available for them to talk about it. You know what I mean? So what have you run into so far? The hard part for parents is to take the judgment out of it and, you know, and say, you know, like, well, you weren't supposed to look at that stuff. Not that there's no place for that, but in the initial conversation where you're letting your kid talk about what they've seen and maybe what they're alarmed by, you need to let that line run out a little bit. You need to let them talk about it pretty freely and openly. Then you can say, listen, it's really important that you avoid some of this stuff because it's dangerous. And, you know, and I don't want you to have to see something that you're not ready to see.
That's the perfect way.
Okay to say that.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. We have been trained to judge. How do we take the judgment out of it? What is the best practice to learn not to be judgmental and to let your kids talk?
So it's a great question because we have been trained to judge and our kids do not respond to our judgment. And we don't want to be judgmental, I think, as parents. When I think about what the flip side is, what the opposite is of judgment, I usually lean toward curiosity. So instead of judgment usually means you're saying something. You're telling your kid, you know, well, I don't approve of that. I don't want you looking at that. And you're grounded. Mm-hmm. You know, there might be a spot for that. But first you want to say, you know, tell me what you've seen. Tell me what you think of it. You know what I mean? Like we were talking off the air about the comedian who was fired from Saturday Night Live. Ask your kid what they think of what's going on in the world now because they know. And they sometimes have really interesting solutions to what's going on in the world.
Sure.
So foster that. Be curious about what your kid thinks about what they're seeing out there. And then if you want to levy a consequence, I'm not going to take that away from you.
Right.
But really you want to make it clear that you are the person they can come to. You're their collaborator and their ally in what they're looking at online.
Although you have to admit, sometimes it's hard for kids to discuss those things with their parents.
Right, for sure.
It's nice, but it can be very difficult.
Yeah, I think as a parent, you have to be a little meta about this and really point out, like, hey, we're about to have a little bit of an awkward, uncomfortable conversation. Yeah. It won't last forever, but we have to have it.
Yeah.
And how early do you have this conversation, says 847?
It's a great question, 847.
age-wise.
Although the time, the 8 a.m. is fine.
Do it early in the morning.
I think we want to be able to say, oh, 12, 13, 14 years old. But the truth of the matter is our 8-year-olds, our 9-year-olds are exposed to a lot of these things. So you want to introduce these talks early. You don't have to get down to the nitty gritty, but you have to introduce this stuff at really early ages, uncomfortably early ages.
John, you should write a book.
I should.
You definitely should write a book.
What would you call the book if you ever wrote it? I would probably call it Parenting the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety off the top of my head.
That could work.
That is available now, finally. And John is making a lot of appearances, including at LT High School, Lyons Township High School, tomorrow night. If people want to find out how to get your book, what your book's about, and where you're appearing, what's the best place to send them to?
DrJohnDuffy.com is my website, kind of a clearinghouse for all of it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, John. A break and then some news. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN. I want to hear the vocals, Wendy. I know it's time to talk, but the vocals are too good on this.
Benjamin Orr singing on this one. He's also not with us.
I know. About 10 years ago?
Way to hit the post totally by accident. Well,
by accident? Come on.
How many years ago?
Right.
It was about almost, I don't know now.
I think around 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was something like that.
All right. Inspired by the cars and the loss of Rick Ocasek, I found this for you. The most bizarre driving laws from all around the world. I know, Wendy, you're a world traveler. You always rent a car, no matter what country you end up in. Let me help you out by telling you the strangest laws for driving in other parts of the world. Did you know that in Thailand, it is illegal for men to drive without a shirt on?
No.
It is.
Have you ever done it?
I've never been to Thailand, but when I pick up Thai food, I even make sure that my shirt is on, just to be safe.
You should take it off in case you taste some in the car, then you wouldn't have to worry about getting it on your shirt. Really? I've seen men... Well, I know that's Thailand, but right. Let's transfer it to
what
here.
What happened in Thailand where they made that a law? I mean, I can understand it as a suggestion, but in Thailand they went, enough of this nonsense. Guys, put your shirts on.
Maybe The Rock was there, Jason Momoa, and they said, you know what? We can't have this. It's distracting. Distracted driving.
Can I tell you, a couple of days ago, over the weekend, you know how a woman cannot drive around without her shirt off?
Why?
You know this. I don't know. Crazy rules.
But
guys can drive around, can walk around without a shirt on. That's how society is. All right, so I see this guy. I'm driving, and there's a guy walking on the side of the road who should definitely have a shirt on but did not. And I don't know what led to that. I don't know what made him decide, you know what? I'll just go for a walk, and I will not wear a shirt. It was not in anyone's best interest.
I have a question to ask you, men.
Yes, Bill is representing all mankind.
Let me handle this one, Ryan.
Did you see me bite my tongue?
I will represent all men on this one.
Did you see me bite my tongue?
Yeah. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Do you need some oral vaccine to help
you?
All right, go ahead.
I'm fine.
What is this? Let me represent all men.
All right, when it's really hot outside,
yes,
and maybe you're cutting the grass,
yes,
or doing jogging, I'm not talking at a pool, but you're doing some kind of activity, does it really make you cooler to take your shirt off? Wouldn't it be more comfortable to have like a nice cotton or wicking type shirt on? That's what I don't understand about men taking their shirts off. It's one thing if they want to get some color, some suntan,
right?
But I think you'd be hotter with nothing on.
Interesting.
I'm just asking you. I can't imagine you walking around shirtless ever.
It's helpful if there's a breeze. If there is a breeze, that does make it cooler, I think.
Yeah. And I put a shirt on when I take a shower. So
I'm surprised you take your shoes off when you take a shower.
I don't. I leave my shoes on. I put a shirt on, sometimes another shirt, just to be safe. I don't know the answer to that. I think it's a case-by-case basis.
I guess, but I just would think you'd be, you know, if you have a nice, like, white cotton shirt on.
Yeah, keep that on, right?
You know, reflects the sun's rays, it would be cooler than just having nothing.
Right.
But I don't know.
So true.
Peggy wants to talk about a topless guy.
All right.
Hey, Peggy.
Hey, how are you?
What's up, Peg?
Well, I just thought this was absolutely hilarious that you're talking about this. My husband and I were in the Caribbean on the island of St. John, driving late at night in a taxi, and the taxi driver informed us that it's okay to drink and drive, but you have to wear a shirt. It's against the law to go without a shirt, but you can drink and drive. No problem.
Where was this?
No problem, man.
Oh, in Jamaica.
St. John.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
St. John.
All right.
We didn't either.
That's very interesting. Thank you
Thanks,
so much.
Thanks, Peggy. Appreciate
it. Love you guys.
Thank you, too.
Thanks.
We have some answers here. When you have your shirt on, you retain heat.
Oh.
So a topless man checking in.
I guess so.
And another 815 says, it's the sweaty, clingy shirt that bothers me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ryan, you go shirtless?
No, I don't go shirtless. I've been at Lollapalooza one time and walked by someone, you know how crowded it can get there, and someone just walks by you with that heavy, wet, gross shirt.
That's
it just
nice.
Slimes you. It's really gross.
So you would prefer to have that man walk past you with a
maybe
nice, glistening, sweaty,
maybe
bare
not.
Chest?
No.
Right.
No, maybe not. I don't know.
You need a layer between someone else's skin and yours,
yeah.
Don't you?
You should. Yeah. Ideally, yes. Ideally. Wendy, here's another one. In Australia, it is illegal for drivers to stick their limbs, this includes arms and hands, out of a window unless they are signaling to other drivers. You can't just for no reason at all just hang an arm or a leg out your window.
You know,
in Australia,
that's funny because I was driving down the Kennedy. What day was that? Saturday, and there was a woman, and I saw her toes dangling out. And she was
while
driving.
She was driving.
She was the driver.
I've seen that more than once.
She was the only person in the vehicle, and her foot was hanging out the window.
I don't get that at all. I've seen that a bunch.
All right, I will admit that sometimes on long car rides, I will, if I'm in the passenger seat, not driving.
Oh, don't. You do? You stick your foot out the window?
Sometimes
both. Oh, Wendy.
You let the piggies get some air?
Don't do that. That's
why?
Because that's not nice.
Why don't isn't that nice?
That's one of the...
I'll admit I haven't done it in a long time.
When was the last time you did it?
Probably...
Wednesday.
20 years ago.
Oh. How is that comfortable, by the way? I want to know how that works. Are you leaning back a little bit?
Yeah, you recline your seat and you put your feet up there.
There's no 10 and 2, is there?
No,
I bet there's
no
10 and 2. Oh, no, I'm talking driving. Okay.
No, I'm talking in the passenger seat. It's just, you know, don't you remember being a little kid where you'd stick your hand out and it was kind of cool to feel the breeze? Dogs like to do it with their heads. Why not my feet? Freshly manicured. Pedicured, whatever.
Dogs do it. That's the
dogs
best
do their head.
Dogs do it.
You wouldn't just stick your head out the window.
Because it feels good when you're getting the breeze. It's called digging the breeze. That's what it's
called. Is this an agreement that all dogs have made that when in a car you should stick your head out the window? Because dogs just naturally do it. Every dog is like, well, I'm in the car. I only have one option. I will stick my head out the window during this car ride. I don't understand why dogs do
that.
That
is a great question. Because, yeah, I don't think Kona had never been in a car, and yet he knew.
Yeah. It's like it comes with the kit when you're a dog.
If a window goes down,
you must stick your head out the window. You won't do that with your foot anymore. Will you? You don't want to do that when you're driving.
Why? Are you saying... Because if you pulled up next to me, you'd be bothered by it? I don't care. I've seen people do it. Man. Driving to Peoria sometimes to see my brother, it's not very exciting. If
That's
I see
the only highlight
good
of
foot.
The trip. That's the one good thing in a trip to Peoria. You get to see somebody with their foot out the window. It's fun.
224, I got to side with Bill on feet out the window,
don't
Wendy.
Don't do that, Wendy. Please don't do that.
Well,
that's not in anyone's best interest.
But who does it hurt, man?
Everyone who sees it.
I don't think so.
That being said, I would love to see a truck driver do it.
While driving?
Yes.
I'd like to see a Formula One race car driver do it.
That too, yeah.
That would be something.
Motorcycler with their foot up over the handlebar? That's interesting.
Said I wouldn't be driving. I was the passenger.
Even in the passenger seat. That's not right. Read the commandments. It's one of the commandments. I'm pretty sure.
The Ford commandment?
Yes. All right, let's take a quick break, and then there's more of these. These are the driving laws from around the world that you need to know. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Remember, all right, so we're talking about laws, driving laws from around the world. Remember how you first discovered that it was kind of fun to stick your hand out the window because you got some wind resistance, and then when you were a kid, you would then do variations. You wouldn't just stick your hand out, but you'd do like swoops and swirls and stuff like that. I've seen adults do that every once in a while when they're driving.
I've done that. What is if you can do swoops and swirls with your hands, if you can stick your hands out, why can't you stick your feet out? I'm not talking on a city drive. I'm talking when you're on the road. Maybe we're going to our beach club and I don't have shoes on in the car. And it's just
so
like,
then what?
I'm going to lean back. My feet are up near the dashboard anyway. Let's just stick them out.
I know this is a judgment call, but whenever I see somebody doing it, I don't say to myself, I bet that's a Harvard professor doing that.
What do I care?
You don't feel like you owe a word of caution to anybody who's coming upon your car?
They're
you don't
not
think
like
you...
sticking out 4 feet. They're just, you know, a little peep toe. Like shoes.
Wow. All right.
That's what they're called, peep toe shoes.
That's what they're called. I know. Wendy, did you know
judgmental.
That it is illegal to smoke a cigarette while driving in Greece? But in France, it's illegal not to smoke a cigarette while driving.
I thought there was a lot of smoking in Greece, too.
There is a lot of smoking in Greece.
So you can't
they say it's likely to the fact that drivers must take one of their hands off the steering wheel to bring the cigarette to their lips, which is true.
Yeah.
But don't most people, honestly, most people drive with one hand anyway. Don't they?
Yeah, unless you've come into bad weather or something.
Then you're a little more careful.
And I could be wrong here, but we were taught in driver's ed 10 and 2 position.
Right.
And now I've been told that has switched to 9 and 3 position because of airbags. Did you know that?
No, that's the first I'm hearing of this. Why didn't anyone call me on this? I'm still at 10 and 2.
I got to look into that. But I think because airbags are prevalent now that you need to do a 9 and 3. Because if you're 10 and 2 and the airbag goes off, it could break your wrist.
Oh, I didn't know this. All right. Thank you. You may have just saved my life, Wendy. Thank you for that. Wearing flip-flops while driving in Spain comes with a fine of $225.
I got to tell you something. I think... And if there's an officer of the law that could call us, 312-981-7200, I think you're not supposed to do that here either.
Really?
I know
you can't drive barefoot.
Right. I know you got a ticket for that. Although I will say, I didn't get a ticket. Yeah. I know you can.
I know that because I carpool with Mowgli. from Jungle Book.
Really? Because I drove in with Fred Flintstone.
You did?
Yes.
That's cool.
And Dino was sticking his head out the sunroof.
Ah, Dino.
I do know that sometimes I have flip-flops, and I also have those Adidas slides or Nike slides that everybody wears.
Yeah.
Sometimes those slide off your foot, so quite honestly, I'd have a better grip on things barefoot than with those.
Would you tell the police officer that who pulled you over? Would you reason that out with him?
Yes. And, of course, I don't have my flip-flops on when I stick my feet out the window, which I haven't done in 20 years, so quit judging me.
All right. In the Philippines, Wendy, it is illegal to drive on Mondays if the license plate of the vehicle ends in a 1 or a 2.
That's a ridiculous law.
On Tuesday, it is a 3 or a 4. On Wednesday, it is a 5 or 6. Thursday, 7 and 8. And on Friday, it's illegal to drive your car if it has a 9 or a 0, ending your license plate. It says this unusual law is part of the Unified Vehicular Volume Reduction Program, or number coding. The program was created to alleviate traffic congestion by restricting the number of vehicles on the road. Isn't that something?
That is weird.
So what did we have? We had something like that for a while where you couldn't buy gasoline. It was odd or even numbers in your license plate, wasn't it?
That was when the gas shortage was happening.
And then they found a bunch of gas. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have any gas, and then they went, let's look in the gas warehouse, and then they found a bunch of gas, and we didn't have a gas shortage anymore.
Remember all that price gouging that was going on? Because stations that did have it were charging so...
Was that in the 70s?
I was just going to say, was that because of the war?
Yeah, it must have been because of the war.
As your grandma would say?
Right. She blamed everything on the war. Yes.
312 says, why doesn't anyone care about what other... Wait, why doesn't anyone care what other think about their behavior anymore? If this is all about the feet, how does that affect you? I haven't done it in 20 years, all right? I'm telling you that right now.
Yes.
But how does that affect... How is that hurting anyone else?
It just... When you come across somebody doing that, it just seems very low class, doesn't it? Would anybody you respect do that? Who do you respect most in the world besides me?
Oprah. You are the first one?
Do you think that Oprah on her worst day would say, I'm going to Gail's house, and the fun part is I'll stick my foot out the window the whole time I ride into Gail's house? Oprah wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't make any judgment call on that. Plus, if I only do it when I only did it. I do not currently do it. I'm letting people know that.
20 years.
At least.
All right.
Maybe 15.
Right.
But seriously, it's been a long time.
Right.
Double digits for sure.
Well, and 10 digits if everything's going according to...
Typically, it was only when Jim was driving in the right lane, so it would just be people on the shoulder and no one's there on the expressway.
All right. That seems fine then.
There are people that do weird things in cars that I don't know. I don't care.
Whatever happens, happens.
Well, it's your own car.
Right.
Isn't it a free country?
That's why, like, inside the car, it's your own car. But when it's outside of the car, it becomes public consumption, doesn't it?
What about somebody, you know, with their elbow out the window? Oh, they got... I see their elbow. Their epidermis is showing.
Hubba, hubba. Right.
I'll just mind your own business.
All right. We will take a break. Then we'll give you some news. And then the Wintrust Business Lunch for some of you. The rest of you can follow us to the stream.
And coming up, the stories that matter with our friend Jordan Bernfield. Yay. I haven't seen
Jordan
him yet
Bernfield.
Since he's back.
Yep.
All right. Well, we will talk to him from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, WGN Radio.